you can probably treat yourself to an ad-free upgrade, or at least grab an extra latte. After getting a Chime checking account with features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with SpotMe, no minimum balance requirements, and no monthly fees. Open your account in minutes at chime.com/goals24. That's chime.com/goals24. Chime. Feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello and welcome to episode 14 of Mama's on the Move. I am Brandi Hunter Lewis.
And I am Keisha Johnson.
And we're excited to be here because today is a topic. Today's topic, I think, will speak to a lot of people, our audience, our followers. We do have a lot of real estate agent followers, and or our audience is comprised of a lot of realtors. You know, people in the real estate industry.
Yes.
So we're going to touch on some things that I think need to be said.
Yes.
Yep, need to be said. So, but we're going to start by talking about our weeks.
Yeah, because it's been about 3 weeks.
It's been 3 weeks, y'all.
Why have we not been here?
Well, we've had a lot going on. We've had life going on. We've had a lot of life going on. And sometimes, you know, life can get the best of you and you have the best of intentions.
Yes.
But as we mentioned, this labor of love is exactly that.
Exactly.
And sometimes real world stuff kind of gets in the way of that, right?
I mean, we are mamas on the move in real life.
Baby.
This ain't just the name of a podcast.
Exactly.
And so, you know, with all due respect, we are trying to do biweekly.
Mm-hmm.
That is our intention,
mm-hmm.
our goal, but however life happens.
Yes.
And again, labor of love, and we want to do our best, but there are going to be times y'all going to miss us a couple of weeks at a time. It's just what it is. Spring break is coming. I know I'm going out. You know, we just got a lot going on. So anyway, let's get to it. What have you been up to the last couple of weeks, though?
So last couple of weeks, you know, I tried to figure out what's been going on the last couple of weeks.
I had to remind you of some things.
I know, because it's like it's a blur.
And I know.
It's a blur because everything just happens so fast.
It does.
When you're just, you know, moving as we do as mamas and businesswomen and mothers and all this stuff. So I really tried to refresh my memory and think about, okay, what happened to me over the last 3 weeks? I do have a new look.
I know.
Those of you that listen via, you know, all of the different channels, the pocket, but if you watch YouTube, you'll be able to see my look. I have a new look. Her name, well, her alter, I have an alter ego, and I've given her a name. Her name is Alexis.
Yes, and Alexis, I'm here for Alexis.
Yes, and Alexis is sassy, and Alexis is fun, and Alexis just, you know, she's originally from Great Britain.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, she's from Great Britain and she speaks with a British accent.
Okay.
So at times you will notice that her native language, her native tongue will come out, will slip out on occasion.
Okay. Okay,
so,
girl.
So that is Alexis. And Alexis has a new look. She has the long, curly locks. And it's not a look that I normally do. But as I grow out my hair, and we know, I've always shared, you know, my challenges with growing out this hair, because it is, man, what Black women go through, man. Sure. And we could dedicate an entire podcast.
Yes, we could.
To Black women and hair.
Yeah, we could.
Oh my God, we could.
I agree completely.
You know, white women don't have to go through all this.
They don't. It's a lot they don't have to go through that we go through. But talking about hair specifically.
Yeah,
it's tough. And like me, I'm back in the gym. So it's a challenge, which is why I went short. Because even if I'm sweating, I can usually go home and try to figure something out because of the cut.
Right.
But it is a lot of work. And I mean, honestly, I don't want to work out after I've gotten my hair done for a couple of days. Because I'm like, what's the point of paying the money? And then I got to sweat my hair out. Yes. But then I think about my health is more important. But I don't know. It's a challenge.
But do you know how many women struggle with that and how many women choose not to work out for that reason?
I agree. But as I mean, honestly, I've been trying to think of alternatives, though. Yeah. Because I'm like, what can I do? I don't feel like day-to-day braids long-term are for me.
Right.
And so, you know, it's a struggle. It really, really is. And then I can go to my natural hair, which is naturally curly, but it's still more maintenance. This is a lot. It's a whole lot. But I also feel crazy when I see myself with my hair done and my nails done and my health is not right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of like a contradiction. I'm worried about looking good on the outside, but I'm not really looking. You know what I mean? Oh,
right.
I forgot I put that ATM card in there.
So you know what? Women.
Wait.
Luxury all women don't have, okay?
But I'm like, I was feeling some kind of hard up there. I was trying to make sure I need to get myself a self-exam right quick, but it was the ATM card.
All women do not have that luxury, okay?
I completely forgot I put it up there with DJ.
Oh my.
Well,
oh
that's
my.
A note for all women to get the get your mammogram, make sure you're doing the self checks.
Yes.
That's what I felt, that little hardness. I'm like, wait a minute, I was about to go have a moment. But anyway, so.
But that goes in line with us talking about, you know, if you're trying to be healthy, you know, it can't just be, or if you're trying to look good, feel good, it can't just be your outer appearance. It has to be the inner appearance too, right? So
yes.
So your mind, your body, your spirit, all of those need to be in alignment.
And I think that today, talking about real estate myths, I think it's important to stress that. And you're really, really good at that. And you're basically, you kind of have been helping me with the whole, you know, I was trying to, because DJ had a game way out last night.
Yeah.
I was way out up somewhere up 75 North. And I wanted to listen to the podcast you sent me with Oprah and Deepak Chopra.
Yeah.
But I couldn't figure, I just got a new phone, couldn't figure out how to make my Bluetooth connect. But
yeah.
I know you listen to a lot of podcasts. But we'll talk about that. But so what else went on other than you getting Alexis?
So other than me getting Alexis and adapting to her, which has been great. And you know, it is, I know you touched on this, how you said you get your hair done, you don't want to work out for a couple of days. When I went short, my entire lifestyle changed.
Mm.
And that's why, that was part of the reason that I made the decision to grow my hair out. Cause I'm like, you know what? I can't go from, you know, being active and that being part of my regiment, that being part of what makes me feel good about myself,
mm-hmm.
to now having short hair and being so concerned about this style that, you know, or wearing hats all the time because I like to work out. I'm like, it's too much.
Right.
It's too much. That's why I chose to go this route of growing my hair out,
because
I'm like, I can't compromise what's most important,
right.
which is my health,
right.
for the sake of a short, sassy
hairstyle. Right, because your health is the foundation of being able to do everything else you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So outside of the new adjust, you know, with the new hair, I really can't remember what else happened over the last 2 weeks.
Well, what about the banquet?
Oh, that's right. So we did. We had the multi-million-dollar awards gala,
mm-hmm.
and that's always fun to attend because you get to dress up and be just fly and, you know, just black ties. So, and we don't get to do that often,
right?
You know, unless you go to a wedding or something,
right?
So, and how often do you get to do that? So that's always fun.
I'm going next year. I haven't been in years. I mean,
yeah.
I just haven't been with the kind of firm that really focused. I just, you know, I really haven't focused on that for some time. But next year, I'm definitely.
But
gonna
the shift
go.
Is occurring.
The shift
has already started.
Yeah,
to occur.
Yeah, absolutely has.
Yeah. So you'll be up in that piece next year.
Yeah, I haven't filed my application in so many years, girl.
Yeah.
But I'm
gonna
do it next year.
Yeah, she'll be in there next year.
Yeah.
She will be there next year. So that was fun. That was always fun. That was a significant thing that happened over the last couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And between that and you know, just preparing, my boy is about to go to prom. Chase is going to senior. Prom.
Oh, is Chase going to prom?
Yes.
Okay. I'm so glad DJ not going.
Well, he got another year. Chase didn't go his junior year either.
Okay.
So he's going to senior prom. So we went and picked out his tuxedo. We didn't do a tux. I thought that was just so, you know, my baby got to be fly. His girlfriend's dress is super cute.
Mm-hmm.
So we got him a super sharp suit jacket. He's going to, girl, he's just going to stand out. He looks good. The woman, I mean, his date is going to, I mean, a gorgeous dress. A female's always going to be the center of attention,
sure,
right?
Right.
But he is going to compliment her very well.
Okay.
In his own right.
Come through, Chase. Okay.
So, yeah. So, other than that, girl, that was about it.
Okay.
And working like a Hebrew,
working,
you know,
like
that don't stop.
Right.
You know, this first quarter is off to a great start.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're going to touch about some that and some of our real estate agent
right.
myths. So what's going on with you?
Well, I started my diet. Yes. I know it's like every week I be like, no, but seriously.
No, but you really started
I did start this time because I said I wasn't doing nothing until March.
Yeah.
And I ended up actually going about a week or so into March before I really kicked off. And 6.6 pounds the first week down.
Oh, that's good.
And it's been cool. But you know what? I miss drinking. Yeah. I actually made a post about it yesterday and a lot of people felt me on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably been the more difficult part for me, and that I have the clarity that I have gotten that I was turning to. Now I want to know, I'm not an alcoholic.
Mm.
That's the first thing alcoholics always
okay,
say.
So y'all know, right? So wait, but what to me, let's dig a little deeper into that.
Okay.
Because I'm struggling with that too, right?
Okay.
I mean, if you have a drink, mm-hmm. if you're a social drinker, you mm-hmm. drink 2 to 3 drinks
mm-hmm.
a week or 3 to 5 drinks a week. Like, what is alcoholic versus somebody just...
I think alcoholism is based upon you not being able to do the things that you're required to do. Because, you know, they have functioning alcoholics.
Yeah.
And then you have
those... They got to drink for everything.
But not just that they have to drink for everything. They can't function outside. Like, they can do everything, but they want to drink every day, too.
Mm.
And what I realized is, although I may not be, quote, unquote, alcoholic, I was drinking.
You dependent.
I was definitely looking... Like, last week, the first day... I was on the program. The first mm-hmm. day I was on. This is a lifestyle for me. But the first day I got a call from a client mm-hmm. and I'm telling my, when I hung up, all I want to do was go to the closest.
Mm.
I was like, normally, but I just had to work it out. I had to just say stop and just kind of decompress my car. Remember, I had the tire situation Monday and Tuesday, taking a client. So it was just a lot of stuff. But like you told me, I kept hearing Brandy say, and I know this for sure, life is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I just couldn't make, I can't wait to get home and have a glass of red wine. You know what I mean? However, what I've decided is, for me, this is 80-20. This is the approach I'm kind of taking in my life right now. And that means that 80-20, this is not a diet for me. This is a lifestyle change. So me cutting sugar back, and I'm not doing keto. I'm doing what I consider a balanced program.
Yeah.
So I still have complex carbs, just no white carbs.
Right.
And, you know, so 80-20. You know what I mean? My goal is to drop 40 by my birthday in June, and I will do it.
Yeah.
Based upon
where I'm... Because you already did 6 in 1 week.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so as long as I average, 2.5 to 3 pounds from every week going forward, I'll hit my goal.
Okay.
I'll exceed my goal a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way I'm kind of looking at things in general. The guy that I date, I need him to be 80-20 in.
Mm.
Like, he may not be 100 all the time, nor am I, but he's going to have to be 80%.
At least meet you.
Yes.
Where 80, you are.
No 50-50, no 70. I need you 80 to 20, like doing what you're supposed to do and being, you know, consistent.
Right.
Okay. And so what work, I'm going to create more of a balance. You know what I mean? Like, I booked a trip for DJ and I to go away for spring break. I haven't done it in years, just me and him.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that. And, it's been a struggle. And I have an opportunity to have one cheat meal a week.
Okay.
But I didn't take it yesterday, Sunday. It's usually Saturday or Sunday.
I didn't
because I'm like, I just have goals and it's not worth it.
But you know what? Here's what I can say about what I've even noticed, the change I've noticed in you since you've committed to this diet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even with some of the commitments that you and I both have together,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the Realtors Outlet and podcast and just other stuff we're doing,
mm-hmm.
like, you've been on it. Like, you've been on
more
top
focused.
Of stuff. You've been more focused. You've been more, like, your follow-up game, as I always talk about follow-up game being so strong.
Right.
Like, your follow-up game has been impeccable. You stay on top of it. And that has been, that shift.
Yeah.
And you making a choice to, you know, be more disciplined as far as your diet and exercise is concerned.
It's flowing into
that
other parts of my life.
Everything else.
Absolutely. Yeah, it really has. And that's what I said. I had a clarity to realize that every time I had a trigger, I wanted to have a drink.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times as moms, a lot of times we use wine to cope.
Oh, we do.
Like, you know, we use alcohol to cope. So it may be wine, whatever it is. But mine was mixed drinks. Like, I loved a good pomegranate martini with a sugar rim from Houston's. That's my favorite cocktail.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started doing them at Cheers, Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that I'm just taking in way too much alcohol and sugar. And it's just not good for me. And I realized the other thing is, if you suffer from depression.
Yeah.
Alcohol is a depressant.
Yeah.
So it's a downer. So if you're already dealing with depression,
it's
going to take you even further.
Yeah.
You're going to be sleeping more. It's just not a good thing. So it's for me, I'm not saying obviously I'm going to drink again. And I can't wait to do it, to be honest with you.
Right.
But I am definitely going to be more cognizant of when I do drink again. Like, be, you know, think about it. And no more drinking during the week. Like, it's just not necessary. I can't. I have too many things that I need to do. And I will say this. That's why I said the 80-20. If I just feel like, okay, I have to sit down and have me a cocktail, then I'm gonna have a cocktail.
Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed, I have not gone out to eat since then because I'm preparing all my meals at home, but I spent a lot of money out drinking.
Girl,
like, when you go have your
Houston's, our cocktails are what, $16?
$16.
And what do we normally have? Like,
3, 2, 3.
He talking about 2, 3.
Oh, so you're talking about just $100 between the two of us on drinks. We ain't even had a spinach dip or nothing.
Yeah.
And so even from that perspective, it's like, it's just, I'm going to be buying, putting that into my new wardrobe. I'm doing things around my house. So I'm focusing what I would normally, because I haven't done any meetups.
Yeah.
And you respected it.
I know.
I've
just been going by myself.
You have not been going by yourself.
Damn. And we can talk. I just been having these cocktails by myself now. OMG.
But you know, it was so funny the other night, Ming and were having something. She said, well, come over. I said, I can't do it. She said, well, bring your lunch. And I have my lunchbox with me at all times. It's in the car now. But I was like, I'm not strong enough yet. So this weekend, I didn't do any. I worked and I was at home. That's it.
That's so good, That's Keisha. It.
I'm not even trying to risk going out
as
right now.
As far as, you know, we talked about this in one of our other podcasts. We talked about overcoming resistance.
Yes.
Like, that's the most difficult part when you're going through what you're going through.
Yes.
Is having the presence of mind to say, you know what, I'm gonna choose not to do it.
So that's
a struggle. But you're winning.
I'm winning. Day 7, day 8. It's a struggle, but that is for me right now, no meetups. I just can't do it.
Yeah, you can't do it.
So, you know, I think the next time I meet up is when DJ and I are out of town in a couple of weeks. But other than that,
well, that's good.
Well, I plan to enjoy the brunch that we're doing.
Well, speaking of which, that's something we could talk about both of us are doing. We're hosting a brunch, a Mega Agent Mindset brunch.
Mm-hmm. That will creating be on a Mega Agent Mindset.
Creating a Mega Agent Mindset brunch. That's going to be on March 31st at 5 Church from 11 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
And this brunch is for realtors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy because I've had people reach out to me that aren't even in the industry.
I was going to tell you, you know what, I hadn't branded this by you and Miko, because some things I just got to make a decision on, because y'all take forever to get back. I know you both busy. Miko's in Egypt riding camels and ish right now. So, but I've had a few people to reach out to me. Like, I had a CPA to reach out this morning. I told her to book a ticket.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, creating a mindset to be successful is what we're talking about.
Exactly.
And so whether you're doing this much in real estate or this much as a CPA or this much as a whatever it is your industry is, I think it's important, because mindset is the determining factor of success, period, whatever you're doing.
Yep, it determines your altitude. And the same principles can apply in any genre, like any business. So I like you. I told people that have reached out to me, please go ahead.
Book a ticket. At the end of the day, we have people that are flying in, and then we have some people that are right here.
I know.
But the interesting thing, and I know we're going to get into that, the thing that I find so interesting is my DM is full all the time with people who want to be mentored, with people who I just have a couple of questions. Can I pick your brain? Can we do? And then we create this opportunity, and it's like, no.
I know.
So
I don't get it.
Well, it's because most people want everything for free.
They want handouts.
They want handouts. Yeah. And that's the problem with most people when they get in the industry. Now the new thing is the credit thing. If I get one more person to call me, even though one guy called me the other day, the credit repair.
Yeah.
I answer his questions because I respected the fact that he was doing his job.
Yeah.
He was making a sales call. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any business for him. But I'm like, it's the new, I don't know what it is, the new waist trainer.
Oh, man.
I mean, everybody is doing it.
Everybody.
So it concerns me that I don't know what the details are on it, and I don't understand it, so I'm not gonna, you know, but I just don't know how, if everybody all of a sudden can have good credit. How does that work?
I know, and I don't get it. And then people, you know, because people reach out to us as far as like, who do you, you know, because people are genuinely trying to improve their credit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to purchase a house. What can I do? And you got to make sure you put them with the right, connect them with the right company that's going to do it in a way where it's going to, because sometimes these credit companies
clean your credit.
Or they just attaching what do they call trade lines,
right,
that's going to show up just for a certain amount of time,
exactly,
and then they fall off, so it doesn't really benefit you,
right?
So you gotta be real careful.
I only have one guy that I've worked with for years, and he did my personal situation after, you know, going through what I went through with Daryl and all of that, and to help me get my stuff together. And it's not an overnight process.
Yeah.
Like, it took, my godbrother worked with him, and it took him 2.5 years, you know. But if you have situations, and it took him about 3 years for me.
Yeah.
But when you have situations where your credit has been bad for 25 years and somebody can tell you and get it done in 6 months, that right there should let you
know. That's a red flag.
It is not right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's another story for another day. But anyway.
It is. So, well, I guess we can jump right on into our topic for the day, which is real estate agent myths. And we have a few that we kind of want to touch on. And Keisha, our first one is that you can quit your job and become a rock star real estate agent.
Right. Yeah. Well, the answer to that you know, I mean, it's a myth. And if a lot of people think it, because I think I mentioned in the last episode or last podcast, we have 4,600 people getting their license every month now in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I learned that back in December.
Oh, God.
4,600 in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
State of Georgia alone. And so because of the research I did for my book, 67% of people fall out in real estate in the first 24 months. Mm. And a lot of it is because of that, you know, they just,
the misconception
yeah. is there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. And I think social media has made it worse.
Oh, it has.
I think it has made it worse where people think, oh, I just got to just be cute.
Instant success.
Instant success. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get that. You get, what do you think that people, why do people think that? And you think it's just the social media? Because it's always been like that though.
Yeah. But you know what? There was a time when, like, even when I got in the industry in 2000, I got my license in 2005, and that was right before the market crashed.
Right.
And there were a lot of people that were leaving their jobs to get into real estate because the market was so strong and people
right.
were having a lot of success.
Right.
But then the market crashed, and then that weeded out the people who
yes.
who were really true professionals who
right.
weren't, you know, who really had to work a bit, you know, had to truly work the business.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to survive, you know, that sustain myself during that period. But I think it is the illusion of, I think there's this perception of real estate being in the industry that, you know, agents just make a lot of money. They just go show all these beautiful, big, beautiful houses and they're, you know, they're rich.
Yeah, there is a misconception there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many struggles, and that's why I think I'm more transparent about my career.
Yeah.
Mainly because I have focused on helping new agents too who are getting in the industry. But also because I think people need to understand the reality that it takes a lot of hard work. On the way here I had a call that said the deal just fell apart. I've been working on it for months. It's a short sale.
Oh, you know, we talked about social media, but we didn't talk about all these shows, real estate shows.
Oh, yeah.
Million Dollar Listing Agent.
Edited.
Yeah.
All of them are edited. But beyond that, I mean, let's touch on Million Dollar Listing,
mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them mofos come from rich families. Let's just start with that, okay?
Right.
All they mama them, everybody. What's the name, mama? Grandmama brought polyester to the United States. Josh,
yeah.
What's his name?
Right.
So first and foremost, let's be clear. None of them grew up struggling.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So that's the first thing. And there's some other noticeable things that are different, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they also are selling in California, or the ones that are selling in New York are selling in, you know, Manhattan and, you know, upstate.
The
you
completely
know,
different
right,
markets.
Completely
yeah.
different market. But and that's the other reason why I really want people to come out to this brunch, because when I was coming up, you didn't have, you know, I had some people that mentored me that allowed me to, you know, learn from them. But you didn't have where you could access three agents of a certain level at one time.
Yes.
And just be able to ask questions and then learn
Girl,
from what they're doing. Like, can you imagine that look
you.
Like you? Because what I want people to understand, don't, listen, Linda.
It ain't a lot of us out here doing
right,
it at this
that's
level.
At this level.
Yeah.
And so my thing is, like, and you need to get with people. It's not about racists being racist. I'm being realistic.
Yeah.
You need, when I see success from a Brandy Hunter Lewis, Keisha, Miko, Ming, Alori, who they look like me, Candy.
Yeah.
Those women let me know I can do it because
right.
they look like me.
Right.
With all due respect to the top agents.
And we have the same,
that we
come from the same set
type
of
circumstances, background,
similar conditions. Yeah.
That is when it should resonate with you most.
Yeah.
No disrespect to anybody else that's doing it of another race, but what I'm saying is there are different strokes for different folks
yeah.
because the world does not see us all the same.
Absolutely.
So if you could sit down and have a few minutes with a sister that looks like you, that's willing to pour into you,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't you take it?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that. I really don't.
Girl, and that's so interesting that you say that, because that's what inspired me to get into real estate. When I saw Venice Brinkley Walker,
mm-hmm.
I'm in Chicago, had just got my real estate license, was thinking about getting my real estate license, and I'm sitting in a grocery line, and I'm looking through, flipping through magazines, and I see Venice Brinkley Walker in an article standing in front of Ebony, standing in front of her high-end subdivision,
yeah.
and I saw that picture of her. Girl, that spoke to my soul.
That's what I'm saying.
Because she looked like me.
Absolutely.
She looked like me, so it made me feel like I can do what she's doing.
Venice is the reason why I decided to sell my first, that I said I want to do luxury real estate.
Yeah.
I was her assistant.
Yeah.
I'm like, if she's doing this and I'm looking at the stuff, and I'm like, that's what I want to do.
But you know what's so crazy? Is that even I, you know, she was my motivation.
Right.
Like when I got here, I didn't like try to seek her out and say, can you mentor me?
Right.
I didn't feel comfortable doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But she was somebody I modeled myself after.
Right.
But had she presented an opportunity
mm-hmm.
with her and a Sheila Maddox. Mm-hmm. And who else was just popping at the time?
Lisa Robinson.
Lisa Robinson.
And I was in the office with all three of them.
Girl.
So when Lisa left Caldwell Banker and went and started Robinson Realty Group, I was right. She was like, I got an opportunity for you. I want to talk to you offline. And that's when, because I saw Lisa handle a situation, baby, up in that office with their white folk. I'm saying like it was. Their white folk that tried to take her business. Baby, I was like, Detroit sister to the heart. Yes, Be clear. Yeah. And baby, when they tried that, it was a whole show. But when I saw it, baby, Lisa took them folks to school. Mm. I was like, yes, this is and strong and beautiful and intelligent,
yes.
but was not playing no games by
yes.
her money.
Yes.
And I respected that. And I said, you know what? I could vibe with that,
yeah.
you know, and to have access to people like that. So it's.
But Keisha, we didn't. Now, you had access to them because you were in the office.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But could anyone have access to them on that level back then?
No.
They weren't doing anything.
No.
Like what we put together with the Realtors Outlet.
Right.
Has not been done before.
No, it's not.
It's not been done
Never
before.
Never been done before.
So, So to put this out there on a level where we're making ourselves accessible to younger agents, not mm-hmm. even just younger agents, you know, even some seasoned agents that
yeah,
want to,
absolutely.
To take
wanna
their
grow
business.
Right.
To, yeah,
yeah.
want to grow their business. Like this is
a great opportunity.
It's a great
and
opportunity.
I mean, trying to get back to a certain level, you and Miko have been very instrumental in that, helping me. But I can't understand it, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I honestly can't answer that, because if I had an opportunity like that back in... when did I start? 2000. I would have been all over it.
Yeah.
The reason I chose that office was because of Venice.
Yeah.
Then when I went there and I saw Sheila, and I'm like, I ain't know where else I'm going.
I know.
And I was like, this is just too amazing to have sisters like this. And I still to this day can pick up the phone and call each one of them. So yeah, but that is definitely myth number one. So what is our next myth that you
so
have
our next
here?
Myth is we have lots of free time.
Child. I wish.
So people think they can quit their jobs, get into real estate, and just have an abundance of time.
No.
That they can, you know, do business when they want to do business.
No.
And then they have flexibility. Because I'll be honest with you, that was one of the things that I said. That was one of the reasons why I chose to get into real estate, because of the flexibility. Because
mm-hmm.
I needed more time to be able to pick up my sons if they had to go to doctor's appointment, this and that. But however, the reality of that is that you do not, I mean, you somewhat to a degree, but your schedule almost becomes more rigid when you are a entrepreneur, when you are
yep.
doing business for yourself.
Yep. Agreed.
It absolutely does.
Well, and the thing about it is you don't want to have too much time on your hands as an entrepreneur. That means you're not making no money.
Yeah.
You need to be busy.
Yeah.
And so if you're not busy, you need to be doing activities that are going to produce more income,
right.
basically. So I think that the flexibility, yes, I haven't missed many games. I don't think you've missed many games. It
yeah.
gives us the ability for that after hours, you know, more flexibility sometimes. But during the day, I was at an event last week that was hosted by Pauline invited
okay.
me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said you tied
yeah,
up. She invited you too.
What was it called again? I can't remember the name.
Thrive
yeah.
in any market. Because
mm-hmm.
I've been concerned about the iBuyer thing. So
yeah.
they talked about that, but in the AI and all of that. So when we were there, gosh, what is her name? Glenda Baker
mm-hmm.
was there.
Yeah, I've co-oped with her.
Uh-huh,
I like
yep,
Glenda.
I like Glenda. She's
mm-hmm.
real, real cool. So we haven't co-op yet, but I've shown several of her properties. So Glenda was talking about how, and this is a woman who's been in the business 28 years, I
yeah.
think, or something like that, a long
yeah.
time. She's a multi-million dollar top producer, and she does a lot of East Cobb and stuff. And Glenda said that to this day, she is in that office Monday through Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That her team, it is a business. They role play, they script, they do all of this kind of, like, it is, she's like, she time blocks for, like, when her husband went to the south of France. No, they didn't go to the south of France. Where did they go a couple of months ago? Like Spain for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that was lined up, everything she did to
right.
get to that place. So
right.
yeah, you may be able to do those type of things, but 28 years in,
yeah,
she doesn't even know she'd have done that, you know,
right.
many, many years ago. So yeah, but you have to plan for it, because every day you wake up as an entrepreneur, you wake up unemployed,
yeah.
basically. You
Girl,
you
yes.
have to get it out the mud,
yes.
so to speak, as they say. So yeah, it's not a lot of free time. And if you have too much free time, you're not making the kind of money that you really, really want to make, that you quit your good job for.
You know, I say this, like what I had to learn, if it's not on my schedule, it doesn't exist. And you can pattern yourself after agents who are successful. Like that's the great thing about
I
being in this
that.
Industry, is that you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
No,
you know, like you see what the top producers are doing. They work by a schedule.
Yep.
They come into the office. They respond to emails during a certain time. They're reaching out to their potential clients during a certain time.
That's right.
They're, you know, they have lunch at a certain time. They do a lunch meeting or whatever at a certain time. Then you have appointments in the afternoon. So it is it's a pretty rigid thing.
It's a rigid thing, and you have to adhere to that schedule in order for you to try to create any type of balance. Yeah. If you don't, and I was that person who didn't have that schedule, and basically when people called, I was like, okay, I can do it. And it stressed you out.
Oh, it was
stressed
you out.
It's so demanding. So you have to figure out how to have a schedule. But no, we don't have as much free time as I think it appears that we do.
Yeah. And then, you know, it's like as far as us being in the sales industry, like you are only as good as your last commission check.
Man, listen.
You know, what big boy say? Or was it Andre 3000?
The South got something to say.
No. It was
that's
another,
my favorite quote because you know
I like
I'm
that
from
one
here.
Too. We said, hey, baby boy, you're only funky as your last cut. You right. focus on the past, your ass will be a has what.
Right.
So you can't focus on yesterday.
Alexis just came out just then, but in a Chi-Town accent. Because you just dropped bars in the middle of this thing. Go, me. Go, Alexis.
Right. Well, I got a hood in me too.
You know
now.
What I'm saying? You just dropped bars, but it's the
British
truth.
Had a little hood
it's
too.
It's the truth, though. It's the truth, man. You can make 50 grand in a month, 100,000 in a month, but the next month is coming.
Yes.
And them next months is going to come quick. And you have to, and the other thing is that when you get accustomed to a certain lifestyle,
yeah,
I mean, realistically speaking, I could live off of what I get from Daryl if I wanted to live very meagerly,
right.
as if you wanted to say.
Right, right.
If I wanted to, and it may not be meager to some people, but I like my life.
Yeah.
And I like how I live, and I like the things I've been able to expose my son to.
Right.
And so, you know, I thank God I don't have to pay for private school no more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. So you have to maintain that, and it's a lot to do it.
It is a lot.
So when you get there, you want to stay there, you have to keep doing certain things.
You do. And you have to keep doing those activities. It is a day-to-day grind.
Yes.
And if you aren't committed to doing those activities every day, you may have an excellent month in real estate.
Yep.
You may sell 50-60,000 one month.
Right.
But if you are not continuing to fill up that pipeline
right.
and making those calls and making those contacts, you could end up just making 50 for the whole year.
Oh yeah.
You know, like that one month could be your entire year.
Right.
So
that would be a shame.
Yeah. But you know what? If you don't have if you aren't creating the habits, if you don't have the discipline to continue, like that's what I think agents don't understand. They'll get comfortable and say, oh, I got 2-3 closings this month, but then they'll slack off.
That's me.
Okay.
I don't be feeling
let's,
like it.
Let's talk about that then.
Yeah, I mean, it's been me. I'm being honest. Like, if I have a check of $75,000, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and I have had that,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to do nothing for the next couple of months. I'm Gucci. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I ain't really that motivated to go back the next month and be like, hey, you know anybody want to buy some real estate? Man, I'm about to chill. But because of that, it's created this type of...
But that's what I'm saying.
And so if you want that consistency...
You got the 75 one month, you slack for the next month, then that's going to be the average. That 75 is going to be what you do for the next quarter. So you really need to break that 75 up over the next 4 to 5 months because you haven't done the activities.
I'm just right. But I'm just saying that's been me. So I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. You know, so now my mindset is starting to shift back to knowing, okay, you got to keep doing it. That's great to have that. You know, you got to pay off this, you got to pay off that and da, 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 da. You know, and that's the one thing I will tell new agents. When you do, pay your stuff up for a few months.
Yeah.
That is what you, like, you have to because you don't, you know, you I agree
look
with,
at that account
and yes
and be and like, oh, I'm straight.
You have a false sense of security. You better get that mortgage paid up for 3-4 months and then by the time you back, first of all, by the time you back out your taxes,
right.
then you back out the paying your expenses, I would say for 3 months
mm-hmm.
if you have the availability to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you know, some people and from the perspective of, you know what, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to keep working. Okay, that's cool too.
Yeah.
But I recommend highly that when you get that lump sum, pay your bills up for a few months.
Yeah.
I highly recommend that. So what's our next myth? Because
so
we're busting
myth,
these up as
I
we
know,
go
right?
down.
Our next myth, we are rich.
Shin me. I'll tell you right now, if I was rich, people have different definitions of wealth.
Right.
Rich means that I don't have to get up and go to do nothing if I don't feel like
right,
it.
I got
some clients that are rich.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They all still get up and go
all
every day.
All still work.
That's the thing
yes.
that's interesting to me. And I always be like, what is it that you're, what are you striving for?
Because
you're rich.
Right.
You
right.
have made enough money that you don't really, you can live off the interest of what you, but they love the grind.
The thrill.
They love the grind. The thrill of the grind. They love it. And yeah. they still get up and go get it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is they get up early.
Yeah, they do.
Like when I hear these ages talking about some, you just motivated me to get out of bed. I'm like, it's 11:30. What? Like, how do you, like, y'all, like, you cannot take this business so carefree like that. This is a real business. Yeah. If you got up and got in the office for somebody else by 9, you need to be up in the office for yourself at 7:30. Yeah, if absolutely. You don't have kids, if you don't have somebody you have to drop off at school, or, you know, whatever, just depending on what you want for your life.
Right.
But what I've noticed, people who are uber successful, they get up and out.
Yeah, they
get
do.
Up.
They do.
Like, I have a client, he might be at the studio at 4 in the morning, and I get a text to show up, because he'll be like, can you check on this for me? I don't, and, he, and no matter how many times I've said it to him, like,
he doesn't care.
He's like, I want it waiting on you when you get up.
Yeah.
But I still, 9 times out of 10, on most days, can still text him at 8 a.m., and he's up.
He's up.
He getting a couple hours of sleep and he's back on it.
I respect people that have work ethic like that.
Yeah, you know,
I respect that. I do. I admire it. I respect it. And I think that's how, like, if you really trying to create a path to success, it's like, it's discipline.
It's discipline.
It's having a discipline to live by a schedule, to honor that schedule, to be able to turn things away.
Yes.
And it's like even getting your clients to respect your calendar and your schedule.
Listen,
you know, that's really running a business.
You better
like
learn
a business.
How to early
you,
on.
Early,
you
yes.
better learn how to early
I can't say
on.
I've always done
Me
that.
Me either, because yeah. When you do those activities that you talked about, though, Brandy, you don't have to take whatever comes your way.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You can be more selective. And because, honestly, people can be very selfish.
Yeah.
And I don't even think they mean to be. And maybe that word, no, it is what it is. They this is the biggest purchase that a person is going to make.
Yeah.
And so we try to be sensitive to that. Like, yeah. I was on the phone for an hour on late Saturday. Already off the alcohol, already can't eat what I want, and I got to sit on the phone and try to hold this thing together.
Yeah.
So we are so much more than what people understand, too. That's right. The other myth that I don't think people understand. You have to play so many roles in a deal. But if you don't create that respect for your schedule, like I told you, it's been 30 years. Sheila Mattis does not work on Sunday.
Mm-mm. She won't respond to an email.
None of that on Sunday.
Yeah.
And she is not going to do, she's not going to take less than 7% listing your house.
Yeah.
And she's consistently in the top in the industry.
Yeah.
But she sets that standard from the beginning. And yeah. I think it almost makes people want to do, first of all, she has a certain clientele.
Yeah.
Second of all, I think setting that standard makes people want to do business with her because they know she's running this thing like a business for real.
Absolutely. So I think that's one of the next ones is real estate is easy.
Sure. I had to talk somebody off the list today. Came to my office. He's a realtor.
I really people think that, you know, oh, you find a house, you write a contract, and then we see the next picture. They're holding up their keys and it's closing. I'll get some move into my house.
Mm-mm.
It's so much that goes in between.
It is.
From starting from the very beginning, getting pre-qualified, getting you through that process to, you know, once you start the process, finding a property, getting under contract, inspections, appraisals, all the things that can happen that can make that deal just fall apart. It's so many things that you have to manage.
There are so many things. And in the midst of all of that, you're managing people's emotions.
Yes.
On top of it, because you want to feel like, okay, I'm just dealing with the business, but you can't take that approach.
Right.
You are dealing with people's emotions. You're dealing with whatever goes on in their personal life. Also managing what's going on in your personal life.
Yes.
Your child, yep. You getting a call from the school, or your child has been injured or whatever the case may be, and your own stuff that you're going through is just a human being.
Yeah.
It can be very challenging. I cannot stress that enough. And you best listen, y'all. I can't say it no realer than this. You better get you a group, strong network of people that you can talk to about this business because it's very challenging.
Oh, it is.
And you need that support system. And you have to make sure that the people around you really want to see you grow, really want to see you be successful, really are there for you to vent. Like, it's tough.
It's tough.
And I know with the way we're describing it, people are saying, well, why do y'all do it? Because it's an amazing career. I love what I do. I just think there are so many misconceptions about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people think they know more than us. I find nothing more annoying than a person who reaches out to me for my expertise, but every step along the way, they want to challenge me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten to a place now where that's why I said the more business that you do, if nothing else has been my motivating factor, those buyers that I had last year that took me out,
yeah,
that has been my motivating factor to get more listings and to just make sure the buyers I work with are quality buyers.
Right.
I do not have time to waste. You know, if you are following me on Instagram, I appreciate the follow, but listen, y'all, I'm just going to put this out here. I got a good, great group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to be serious about buying real estate when we set up a consultation.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to be like, oh, girl, I remember that time you posted about you and DJ. And I want to talk real estate. When I want to go kick it, I got friends to do that. I don't want nobody wasting
Keisha,
my time about
here's
that.
Part of that. You know, I think people do. They follow us. They become, you know, we are their friends in their head. You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, we don't know them, but they've come to know us in a way where it's a much deeper, like, they feel like they know us on a more personal level.
I get it.
So it's a different, they see
I
us
know,
differently.
I do, and that's why I'm putting this PSA out there.
Yeah.
I understand it. And y'all are my friend in my head, too.
Yeah.
I follow your lives, to those that I follow.
We absolutely can weed those people out,
But
too,
I got caught last week. That's why I'm saying
oh,
this.
Oh, yeah, caught.
So that's why I want to be clear. Like, I mean, it's cool. And they had a pre-approval and all of that, but they were not really ready to buy a house.
Yeah.
And that really came, and I kind of should have went with the first couple of little signs that I had, but, you know, I went on and took them out anyway, and then they kind of just ghosted. Mm. So I realized, I was like, you know, after looking back over the conversation, I think they were looking kind of to want to kick it, and I don't want to kick it.
Oh,
I got friends to kick it with.
Well, see, you got kicking it with Keisha. You're such a funny, fun person to be around.
Yeah.
You're so fun to be around. So, I mean, I don't
well,
blame
I
them.
I want to kick it with them on over here. Let's kick it. We're going to kick it to the heels fall off on this
oh,
right
but
here.
You know what? But I used to get that a lot early on in my business. You know, people, for whatever reason, just kind of want to be in your presence,
yeah.
want to be in your face, want to be wasting
Lord.
Your time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't play them kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is my livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
I got a husband now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, before, you know, dudes will try
oh,
you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, dudes
I
will
had
try
a conversation
you.
This morning like that with Heather. Said, listen,
yeah.
you're going to have to be careful. You're a pretty girl.
Yeah.
You know, they know you're single. They are going to try you, and you're going to have to work hard to keep the respect level there.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Because
yeah.
there are going to be guys that try you. And even though you have a husband, and, you know, but a lot of times they don't care.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just have to make sure you lead with things a certain way. And that means when certain conversations go left, if he's talking about, ooh, let me see, I wonder what them toes look like outside them boots. You already know
oh, yeah.
who he is
like,
and what that is.
You got to nip that.
You got to
right
nip
there.
That
if it
immediately.
Again,
right.
No, bruh,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
Yeah.
You got to do
yeah.
it right then and there. So I agree with that part, too. But, yeah, I strongly encourage people to create a network if possible. And it's and you know what else? I think, too, work. Be prepared to work.
Mm.
You know, I just want to see people be more prepared to do the work.
Yeah.
Like, I did the work.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like a yonder now. I did the work.
I know,
did
Keisha,
my work. I bust my butt.
But why do people think they don't have to do that?
Because
that's the part that bothers me. What makes you think you're going to come in this industry and just be, it's going to be automatic? Like, okay, I'm 15 years in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, 2005 plus 19.
Fourteen
years in the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You 18 years in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have built our brands.
Mm-hmm.
Brick by brick,
mm-hmm.
I mean, client by client, building our reputation, doing the hard work. What makes people think that they could just come in and just, it's just gonna happen like that?
And that's what I think people miss. They say they want mentors, but what they really do is they're looking for somebody to affiliate and associate their sales with to
yeah.
try to get business.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Like, you guys don't understand. Mentorship means that you have someone that's willing to take you under the wing and kind of teach you the ropes as you work.
As you work.
As you work.
That's the key thing.
That you
thing,
can reach out to and ask questions and stuff as you work and build your business
right.
and certain things. But in terms of mentorship, where I just want to, you know, I
want to be around you.
I want to be around you and soak it all up. I'm like, first of all, I'm a Gemini. On any given day, I may not want to be bothered with my damn self.
Yes.
And so, you know, and once I have my circle of friends, I like to roll with them because they've been vetted and I know them.
Yeah.
I don't like just spending time with people just because.
Yeah.
And I just want agents to be prepared to do the work. And I promise you, people are watching you. The
mm-hmm.
reason Venice and Sheila and Lisa would take me, I worked my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
I was in an office. I was in open houses every weekend. I just did whatever I had to do to soak up as much knowledge as I could.
Speaking of which, there's an agent in my office. I'm going to shout her out. Her name is Janine Reedy.
Yes, Janine a beast.
Baby, Janine is a new agent in this
yes,
industry.
She's a
she
beast.
Is in that bullpen every single day. I come out my office. She on that phone. She making calls.
Yep.
She asked. I just announced a new listing that I had last week. Or two, yeah, about a week and a half ago, she said, Brandy, can I host an open house for the, you know, for your...
She's a beast.
She's a beast.
She came up to me when I did the dog house.
Okay.
Remember the dog house?
No.
I mean, the house that had all the dogs.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
okay.
yeah, that house.
She
yeah.
was there as an agent previewing, and she ended up coming up to me and said, all of these people here, she said, do you have somebody taking down names and such and such? Girl, she sat there and took down names, scrubbed the list, reached out to me. We figured out a way we could work it. Of course, I knew most of them folks weren't really going to be.
Yeah.
I just know the kind of,
yeah.
you know, buyers that were going to come. And so she was like, oh, I wasn't able to turn anybody. But because she availed herself to me like that,
yeah.
she stuck out of my mind.
Yeah.
And that's what'll happen when you know it when you see it.
Right.
I was Rookie of the Year. Venice was Rookie of the Year. Everybody I know who went on to typically, there are certain, they may not make the most money the first year. or even the second.
But they have a willingness.
But they have a willingness and a work ethic about them that you know they're going to be. Janita's going to be successful.
Oh, baby, she's 100%
in this business.
Rock star
she is going to be successful. Yep.
Yep. And the way she hosted that open house for me, you know, she uses the same tactics that they teach you to in the seven levels of communication.
Michael
right.
Michael
and if you run that open house according to the way that he instructs you to, mm-hmm. you're going to get some business from mm-hmm. it. And she did that. She put all the signage out. Mm-hmm. She put balloons out. She went door knocking leading up to the open house.
Man.
She is going to be
successful. She is going to be successful.
But you know
so,
what?
Yeah.
She willing to do the work.
And she has like a 2-year-old.
Does she really?
She has a small child. As a matter of fact, I think the baby is 2. She has a small child. And she said she got into the business because she realized she wanted to be with her child more and stuff like that. So, yeah, she has a small child. I don't remember if she's 2, but she's young. She has
a
young
child. Even if you have that mindset, knowing I'm getting into a new industry, it does enable me to have some flexibility with my 2-year-old.
Yeah.
But you know what? During business hours, I'm working my arse off.
Exactly.
I'm coming in the morning. I'm making my calls. I'm committing to do the activities. And she is a rock star in the making. She truly is.
She's a rock. She's definitely a rock star in the making.
For me allowing her to host my open house, she gave me a thank you card and gifted me a fruit basket. I'm like, just doing those little things. Yep. People don't understand. Just those little things like that going to take you so far.
But yeah, Janine reminds me of me. I would do whatever avail myself and just that hunger. And I don't see that in a lot of agents.
Yeah,
I don't. I see a lot of them getting their license, being cute, taking pictures on Instagram.
Taking a million pictures
for
Instagram.
I go down some of their pages and I see more pictures. You sitting on the counter. You sitting in front of your car. You standing in front of a sign. You doing it. And I'm like, where...
are you doing some work?
What are you doing, some work? Like, seriously, like, come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
goodness.
So to answer that myth, real estate is not easy.
It's not.
It is not.
Mm-mm.
So, okay. All right. So another one. All agents are created equally.
No. I'm learning that. I know that as an agent.
So if you got a cousin,
mm-hmm.
your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Your cousin Felicia is a realtor,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're not in the industry, but you have a cousin that does real estate, and mm-hmm. she just got licensed. And but you have a choice. You have a choice because there is an agent that you follow on Instagram that you see is highly successful. You know, they're successful, you know, for whatever reason. But then you got your cousin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people do not understand that this is the single most biggest asset that you will ever purchase in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Okay. Right. So you can't trust Cousin Felicia to that.
No, not if Cousin Felicia is fresh out of school and doesn't have any real guidance. I mean, I think a lot of misconceptions too, agents have to understand when they get in this business, you probably are not going to get as much support from family as you think.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the first thing. I didn't build my business on family.
Yeah, I didn't.
On family. You know, although I know my brother and my sister, of course, did business with me, but I didn't build my business on family.
And friends too.
You're right.
When I came down here, that was part of my misconception too. I was like, oh, I'm from, you know, I went to UGA. I got all these friends that, mm-hmm. you know, that are, you know, that live in Atlanta now. So I'm like, that's going to be my source.
Mm-hmm.
And I got my feelings hurt a lot because they did not choose me off
mm-hmm.
the rip.
Mm-hmm.
After I started to earn mm-hmm. their business from them, you know, just from being out, just from showing myself
mm-hmm.
worthy, just from, you know,
mm-hmm.
establishing myself as a business person.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to earn their trust in their business, but
right.
it did not happen off the rip.
Yeah, a lot of times it won't happen off the rip. For that reason, they want to see that you, you know, have gain some knowledge in the business. And also it won't happen because a lot of times they be lying about what they got.
Yeah.
That's the other thing.
Oh, that's true.
That's the bottom line. I'm just being honest. A lot of them don't have what they say they have. So when it's time to buy a house, they can't come to you.
Yeah.
Because they know there's some things on there that they don't want you to know about. And the reality is I don't care what's on your credit.
Right.
If it says you approved, let's go.
Right.
I'm not into your business. The loan officer don't tell me. They have confidentiality things that they deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not interested in knowing what's on your credit.
Yeah.
As long as you can buy, we good to go. But yeah, I mean, all agents are not created equal. All brokers are not created equal.
That's our next myth.
Well, because, you know, I see a lot of folks running to get their broker's license. They've been out here for 3 years. They may have had in that time period. The problem is that they don't require a certain number of transactions.
Yeah.
They only require you to be licensed for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And then they start in companies and it scares me.
Yeah. It should scare you.
It's very scary.
Just because you've been in the industry for 3 years, I mean, I think that number of transactions, the what you've been exposed
change that.
To, they got
to
change
that. They got to change that.
Because that means that can make the difference between, I mean, it is on the job training, mm-hmm. what you learn, because there are so many things that can come up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still stuff. I'm 15 years in that I'm still learning how to approach certain situations. Like, but that only comes from experience.
It only comes from experience. I agree.
And then if you don't personally have the experience, if you're with the right brokerage firm, you can lean on that broker for the support to kind of guide you as to what you should do in certain situations. But if you don't have that from your broker,
right? I mean, the stuff that Susan went over today was my first sales meeting back with Keller Williams, and I mean, some of the things she went over today, Heather and I went back to, and I was like, wow.
Damn.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And we had a good broker that, you know, the information that they knew they would share,
yeah.
But it was just a completely different feel.
Yeah.
It's a reason why it takes a certain amount of money and stuff to set up a real estate company.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just certain things should just be done a certain way. And
right.
it's been a lot of aha moments for me since I've been at Keller Williams. Yeah, it has been. So no, all brokers and brokerages are not created equal. All agents are not created equal. You got some people that just do this as a part-time thing, and it's no disrespect for those that continue to work and do real estate part-time, but I can sincerely tell you, without doubt, without fail, every time I've gone up against a part-time agent, I have taken them to school.
Oh yeah,
every time.
Yeah.
They are not the ones that I've had, that you're not serving, because there's all kind of new education. We have a whole different contract now.
Yes,
like, have
yes.
you been to even learn the new contract, because you're working 40 hours a week for somebody else?
Right.
Have you taken the time? Is it a priority for you?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? To stay up, keep your education, keep your CE, all that kind of stuff. It's important.
That's why we're not created equal. And that's why it's so important. If you are looking to hire a professional, interview people.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You need to interview these agents. You need to see what their qualifications level, you know, how much experience they have, what type of brokerage support do they have, what hours are they available. All these things are important to you,
right.
Should be important to you.
And it's okay if you ask your agent how many transactions they did last
Absolutely.
Year. It's okay if you ask them, because some people like to say, you know, I've been here for so, da, da, but how much business have you done?
Exactly.
And I think it's okay. You should ask that.
No, you should.
You should know.
You should.
You know what I mean? And all of that kind of stuff. So yeah, I agree. And I'm tell you, Gertie, Instagram, anyway, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, people always ask me, you know, why don't you, you know, open up your own brokerage firm? You know, why don't
I've been asked that too.
I'm like, and we get that all the time, because I guess, you know, we've been in the industry for so long. And
right.
I said, you know what? I don't want that responsibility.
I don't either.
I want to be able to service my clients. Being a broker is a whole different level of liability, of responsibility, like that you have to be prepared for.
Yes.
And if I can't represent my clients without having, you know, the confidence that I can just do what I do freely and just focus on that without all that extra stuff, I don't want to do
it. Yeah, I don't want to be called after hours about your earnest money and what you didn't do and how you didn't turn this in and that and other. And it's not, and now what I'm saying is, I mean, it's not, it used to be a time when people were affiliated with certain brokerages, you knew that was a solid agent.
Right.
Because the company requires certain things. It's
right.
not that way anymore.
I know.
I mean, I see agents from some of the best firms, quote unquote, and they still got agents out here who just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times agents are afraid to say they don't know what they know.
Yeah.
I say this all the time. It's nothing wrong with not knowing, because we all learn. But when you think you know and you don't, and you sashaying your ass up and through here like you do,
right.
therein lies the problem.
Right.
Because you think you know something and you don't.
Yeah.
And that irks me, because you want to try to act all whoop de whoop. And bloop the bloop.
but you know, and you know. Part of, I think, but trying to or learning to become a successful agent is acknowledging that you don't know everything.
That's my point. That you don't.
That you can go, but you have to be in the right type of support system.
Right.
Where if you don't know it all, you can reach out to somebody who does know the answer.
And I'm going to tell you something that I have recently learned. And I tell you, and I didn't even pay attention to it when I was in this process. But I would advise any new agent, do not go to a brokerage where the broker is selling real estate.
Mm.
Don't do it. Because there is a conflict of interest first off the top, because they are focused on making their business and making sure their clients are good.
Right.
And then if in fact they feel like talking to you or they feel like taking your call, I'm just going to put it, it's a fact.
No, that's
you do not need to go to a brokerage where the broker is still selling real estate.
Yeah.
Their business, and it needs to be pouring into you to make sure that you're more successful, only if you're doing what you're supposed to do, so that they can continue to grow the company. But if they got clients themselves, they're going to be focused on their bottom line.
A lot of the smaller boutique brokerage firms.
Brokers still sell.
But then you have someone like a Beecham.
Glennis Beecham.
Glennis
stopped selling.
She did?
I don't think
she's on, honey, I see her name on listing.
Well, her signs and stuff is
on
everywhere.
Listing. Yeah, I see her listings often where it's just Glennis Beecham.
Okay, so you know? Glennis is still selling.
So, but she's one of the few. Mm-hmm. Now, Glennis Beecham is a freaking, you know, Atlanta icon.
Yeah,
so so that's a different type of situation. But you do have to be very cautious about these new startup brokerage firms, transaction brokerage firms saying, you know, you pay me how much, what is it, $75 a month?
Girl.
Is it even that much?
Sometimes.
But I'm like, at the end of the day, you get what you pay for.
For sure.
You get what you pay for. So you got to be willing to make the investment in yourself.
Right.
To grow a business the way that you are, you ultimately want to grow it.
Right.
You got to be willing to invest in yourself.
Yeah, you do. And your success does lie on you and nobody else.
Yeah.
Like, very, very clear. Let's be clear about that, too. I think a lot of times people think, well, I changed this company and I went from this company to that company and your success has remained the same no matter where you go.
Yeah.
That's because it's you.
Yeah, you
at the end of the day,
mirror.
You're the common denominator.
Right.
So you have to put in the, that goes back to putting in the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But all the myths that we discussed today have been long in real estate and they will continue to go on. But we hope that we cleared up some of them for you guys to let you know that at the end of the day, this is a great career.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're in it. We've been in it for a very long time. I don't see neither of us stopping anytime soon. But I think that you have to understand it takes a serious work ethic to come here and be successful and to have longevity.
That's right.
As this being your full-time job, little millennial agent who said what she said to me a few weeks ago.
Oh, what'd she say, girl?
Talking about, she took a shot without saying my name, but, you know, we were in a meeting and the broker was like, you know, go around and tell what you bring as value as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody was going around and I said, well, I think when I meet a client to know that I've been in the business 18 years and I'm very transparent about the time that I went part-time after Daryl died and stuff like that. But, she said, well, I don't. And so she made a little thing on her breast. So he was like, do you have something to say? And she was like, I don't think just because a person's been in the business a long time, that means that adds any value.
Hmm.
I was like, I'm so good now. I'm such a new person. Because Heather, Heather was like, girl, I thought I was going to have to get on the table. She said, I thought she was about to set it off. I was like, no, because, you know, this is spoken like somebody who's been basically given every deal they've ever had.
Yeah.
So talk to me 18 years full time in real estate and never having another job
without
having to go work someplace else and giving handouts.
Yeah.
You talk to me then.
Yeah.
Hell, talk to me in 3 years if you haven't had a handout and haven't had to go work someplace else.
Mm.
This is not an easy. It's people when that market crashed that had to go to work.
Oh, absolutely.
So whatever I do, I clearly have figured something out.
Yes. To you not know have what I mean? To be able to go sustain yourself.
To sustain myself and not go punch somebody clock.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Girl, well, I think we kind of covered enough myths. And I'm excited to host our next event.
Yes.
You know, creating a mega agent mindset. I think it's going to help. One, I think agents just need direction.
Yes.
They get so caught up in the, oh, you know, like, but if you're given the tools and you choose to implement those tools, then you will experience success. It's like, it ain't no easy way. You can't shortcut. You can't just jump over this step and say, I'm going to be here. I'm going to get to her level or that status. But it's no shortcuts.
It's not.
It's no shortcuts.
Mm-mm. There are no shortcuts. And like you said, real estate is a copy business. You don't have to, you just got to make it your own.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. So, you know, I think that that this is a business that if you're willing to put in the work, you definitely can be successful.
Absolutely.
But you got to be willing to put in the work.
Well, I think we covered enough. I do want to acknowledge our mom on the move this week.
Okay.
And this one is near and dear to my heart. She is such an accomplished woman right now. Her name is Carla Green Williams.
Okay.
Carla Green Williams is now the athletic director at the University of Virginia.
Okay.
And she is one of the few Black female athletic directors in all of NCAA sports.
Oh, wow.
And it's so, I've witnessed her walk. And, you know, Carla was actually who recruited me to come to University of Georgia to play basketball.
Oh, wow.
She played basketball at UGA, and then she was the ended up being the assistant coach there. So she was one of the coaches that recruited me. So I've always just had a great relationship with her. But she is just such an awesome, just amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she's a mother. She has three lovely children, two that are now in college and one that is in middle school. And she's married to Brian, and who's a professor at UVA. But just to see where she started and how she's just such a hard-working, genuine person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to see people get rewarded with positions such as those, or, you know, like, when you know their heart and you know how good of a person they are, like, you know,
just
like,
celebrate them.
You just want to celebrate them.
Yeah.
And I'm just so proud of her because I've just watched her just go from, you know, one position to the next. And she's just so committed, you know, to everything that she does. But to see her be rewarded now with the highest, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just feels good. It's very impressive.
That's impressive.
So Carla Green Williams is our mama on the move this week. And we applaud you. We celebrate you. And we just want to tell you to keep up the good work.
Yes. Keep soaring, Carla.
Yes.
Love it.
So until next time,
keep moving, mamas.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.